Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 9. Luke, chapter 9. Let's stand together when we get there. Luke, chapter 9, beginning once again at verse 51 down through verse 56. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?" And he turned and rebuked them and said, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of." Now verse 56, from where we will be having our message. "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day. And Lord, we know that you know the needs of each and every one of us in this room today. Lord, we pray that you would convict hearts, that you would stir us, that you would prick us, that you would make us come to you, Lord. In Jesus, and we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Luke 9:56. "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." That should make each and every one of us happy. See, our sins condemn us. The Lord knew that we needed a way of salvation, and he provided that way. The other day, I was in Mount Clemens, and you may have heard that there was a bomb scare at the courthouse. Well, there was a bomb scare at the courthouse on Thursday. And that was the day I was to begin jury duty. We had parked our cars, or I had parked my car, and a number of us had parked our car at a parking lot about a mile away from the courthouse. Maybe you're familiar with it, over on North River Drive. And I presumed that the shuttle was being provided by the court and that it wouldn't cost anything. Well, it was $2. Now, that doesn't seem like a whole lot of money, does it? The only problem is that one of the guys got onto the shuttle, and he didn't have $2. He had about a $20 bill, which, you know, that seems like he had, but the bus driver didn't have change. And so some people came to his aid and took care of his $2. You know, sometimes we forget the Lord saw what we needed and knew there was nothing we could do, except he provided the cost. He paid the price. In Winona Lake, Indiana, is the Hephzibah House for wayward girls. The name Hephzibah comes from Isaiah 62:4. "Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee." The assistant director of Hephzibah House, Reverend David Halliman, writes, "When a teenage girl arrives at Hephzibah House, she brings with her more than changes of clothing and personal items. She often brings along what we call spiritual baggage, serious, deep-rooted, stubborn issues that have often plagued her for years. It is our desire to help her see these problems and to help overcome them. We have found that nearly always these girls arrive with guilt. Guilt caused by unconfessed sin. They arrive having been angry with siblings, ex and current friends, former co-workers, schoolmates, boyfriends, lovers, grandparents, but especially parents. They have learned to lie to and deceive those in authority. They have been involved in all sorts of improper and immoral behavior. They are here because this wickedness has not been dealt with, or as the Bible commands, confessed and forsaken. They walk through our doors loaded down with anger, despair, bitterness, resentment, and frustration. All of it pointed at authority, at the schools, at churches, at past and current friends, and at parents, but especially at themselves. These feelings manifest themselves with a chip on their shoulder. They come to us violent, nasty, and with a sullen spirit. They are like the woman at the well, lonely, looking for answers in all the wrong places. May I insert here, coming to church is not the answer, it's coming to Jesus. There is no saving grace in the Covenant Baptist Church, but we preach the saving grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Continuing now with a final thought from Pastor Halliman. These girls, like many in our world today, are unsaved, desperate, angry, frustrated, despairing, lonely, hopeless, and spiritually bankrupt. Note, despite all the glitter and glamour that our world offers, it only leaves one lacking and disappointed every time. Unquote. Last year, over 40,000 Americans committed suicide. Why so unhappy? Many regard ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, as a bogus medical condition that excuses wrong behavior. Now, if ADHD is a real issue or just a manufactured one, the fact is that so many children and adults are suffering, which should tell us that something is wrong. Society's answer drugged them instead of dealing with the root cause. So what is the root cause? Guilt caused by anger and rebellion. Anger at authority. And who is the ultimate authority? Our Creator. Rebellion. Who is the father of rebellion? Lucifer. Revelation 12:9 says, the great dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. The Olympics were created, some believe, to bring peace and unity to the world. Is that possible? They say one of the most immoral times of society is during the Olympic Games. We remember the story of Cain and Abel. They both brought sacrifices to the Lord. Cain brought the fruit of the ground, not what God wanted. And Abel brought from his flock as God wanted. The Lord said yes to Abel and no to Cain. And the Bible tells us that Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. He pouted and sulked and said, "Poor me, nobody likes me. Might as well eat a worm and die." What do parents do when their teenagers sulk? Oftentimes, they try to appease them instead of telling them to behave and act right. They say things, "Well, that's what teenagers do." It's true, it's what teenagers do, but it's not what teenagers need to do. Parents, teach your children to be adults, not pouting children. The Lord came to Cain and told him, Genesis 4:7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Wrong actions lead to bad results, be they children, teenagers, young adults. I'm not sure where I fit in the adult world now. And seniors. The message so long ago to Cain was repent or perish. May I say, there is within every human being an empty place that only our Lord can fill. There is within you and within me a void that only the Lord can fill. It's due to sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But as our memory verse today says, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. But society rebels and tries to fill the void with drugs, alcohol, sex, sports, materialism, technology, and a thousand other allurements. But all of these attempts to fill the void leave us empty and spiritually thirsty as the woman at the well. See, the Lord is the void filler. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Shaham, the Lord is there. The Lord Tashidkenu. I don't do the Hebrew the best, but Tesidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness. He is the filler of the void in our lives. If one has never accepted the Lord as Savior, they will go through life constantly looking for something to fill the void. But what about us that have accepted Christ as our Savior? Can we become spiritually thirsty? Yes, we can. Some would call it backsliding. And those that backslide become thirsty because of their guilt. Churches today are full of Christians who are discouraged. They're discontent. They're discontent with themselves and thus with everyone else. They become jealous. They become angry, frustrated, bitter. Believers with corrupted thinking and disruptive activities. They may look the part of a Christian in a church, but fail to walk one like one at home, or at the job, or at school, or in the neighborhood, or in a restaurant, or on a cruise ship, or at the swimming pool. See, being a Christian is a 24/7 job. I want you to ponder this. Our church attendance would double in size if all the backslidden believers would get their hearts right with God. Now, I don't expect you to say amen with that, but may I say that? Let me repeat that again. Our church would double in size if all the backslidden believers would get their hearts right with God. May I say this, that our churches would be full if backslidden Christians would get back into the house of God. But what has happened is that we have decided that we'd rather have physical pleasure versus spiritual righteousness. We would rather be happy with society than making our Lord pleased with our life. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 1, if you would, please. 1 John chapter 1. We have been receiving material from Hepzibah House for years. And it talks about those inmates. How that they turn away some because they are so rebellious that they cannot even bring them into their place to try to help them. They talk about those that they see great success and they do very well. But then there are those who learn the system. They know how to say the right words and they convince people that they're okay now. And upon graduation, which is usually at 18 or thereabouts, they go back into the world. And all too often, they go right back to the very lifestyle they had. See, it doesn't matter what you're really like in here right now. But when you leave in a few minutes, who will you be then? Who will you be tonight? Who will you be tomorrow? If you were put on trial for being a Christian, would you be found guilty? Or would they use the term fraud, counterfeit, concerning us? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins. You know, we live in a society that says, well, it's not my fault. He made me do it, or she made me do it. Or if you knew my circumstances. No, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. When we're guilty, there is no peace. There is no comfort. There is no joy. Notice, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As I said, I was to start jury duty on Thursday. I had arrived at the appropriate time. I was sitting in the juror room with probably 200 other jurors. We were waiting for the time of announcements as to what we were supposed to do. When suddenly over the PA, we received the word that all of us, we were to get our coats and were to leave the building immediately. Now, you're as smart as I am. Would you not say, uh-oh, somebody has called in a bomb threat. It was asked of the people in charge, did this happen often? And they said, more than you want to know. See, what it is somebody most likely didn't want to go to trial or didn't want to hear the sentence or didn't want to go before the judge. And they had this threat. How many of us in today's society are that very same way? We don't want to admit someday we are going before the judge, before the Lord of the universe, and we will stand before Him. And we will either stand before Him cleansed or we will stand before Him covered in our sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We have an advocate with the Heavenly Father, Jesus the Christ. When we stand before the judge of the universe and Jesus is there and He says, He's one of mine. He's covered by the blood. And there are going to be those who He will say nothing. And they will try to defend themselves and say, well, I was religious or I did good works. I went to church. I gave money. Doesn't that count for something? And God will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. See, we need an advocate. We need a propitiation, and Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. We have one that will fill the void, and that is Jesus. Jesus, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. This morning as we sit here, are you on good terms with your Lord? Have you accepted Him as your Savior? Are you prepared to meet your Maker? Shall we stand together? We're going to sing a song of invitation, one that I don't believe we've ever sung as an invitation time. 370, I need Thee every hour. Folks, we need the Lord every hour. Once we accept Him as Savior, and then through our spiritual walk. In a moment, we'll sing a song of invitation, and you'll be asked or welcome to come and to pray here at the altar. You can come and pray by yourself, but if you'd like someone to pray with you, please let it be known. But maybe you need to come and accept the Lord as your personal Savior. Or maybe you just need to come and get some things right with the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to get things right in our lives. We pray for victory at this time, Lord. We pray, Lord, that You just would touch hearts, convicting us, Lord. In Jesus, and we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.